Okay. So, just to begin, is Brother James here? He's coming? Well, if you want to see somebody who's living in the divine will, Brother James, he's the one you talk to. He is, you know what he does? He not only reads, he writes everything down. He's written all the volumes. So I told people when he dies and they go through his things, I go, this guy's a saint. Look what he's written. It's in his own handwriting. I didn't know he was alive in 1900. Oh, sorry. How's that? Is that better? Okay. All right. Okay. I got to be closer. Okay. Is that better? Okay. Volume 19, 7, 20, 26. As I continue to feel all abandoned in the supreme volition. See, now that's the other thing. We want to abandon ourselves in God. We want to dive into the ocean of the divine will and drown. This is what we want. We want to feel all abandoned in the supreme volition. And my always loved Jesus made himself seen all silent in the act of looking at the whole of creation and all of his works. And while he was looking at them, he was in the thought of enrapture profoundly, as though enraptured profoundly before the magnificent sanctity, multiplicity, the greatness of his works. See, this is what God wants. This is what I told you before. We are going to hear, see, smell, feel, and touch love. The magnificence, the sanctity, the multiplicity, the greatness of God's works. So, as you go outside and you begin to look at the heavens, when you see, this is the first thing that got me was back in the 80s, I read, look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. See, we're supposed to be so like God that we can look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. See, we're supposed to be part of this magnificent sanctity, multiplicity, and greatness. This is what God has done. And because of the human will, we can get involved in the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God is saying to us, enter into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Enter into the Trinity. Enter into the life of God. So here, Jesus is enraptured profoundly before the magnificence, the sanctity, the multiplicity, the greatness of his works. And I, Louisa, together with Jesus, felt a profound silence within me in contemplating his works. So we go beyond just contemplation and meditation. We go beyond vocal prayer. We enter into God. See, that's why he wants us to drown in the divine will. He wants us to be filled within and without his divinity. Many things could be comprehended, but everything would remain in the depth of my intelligence with no words whatsoever. How beautiful it was to be together with Jesus in profound silence. And then afterwards, my dear good, my sweet life told me, my dearest daughter, you must know. Now, this you must know is underlined, okay, and it's highlighted because this is a command from Jesus. There is a group of you must knows, and it's very interesting. This is volume 26. When you look at you must knows, there's very few in volume 1 through 10. There's a few more in volume 11 through 19. And then it starts. And now we're into the final part. So from 20 to 36, finally when you get to volume 36, it's almost all you must know, you must know. What this is he's always talking about Louisa. You must know this. So he's talking directly to us. That my word is work while my silence is rest. My word is work, not only for me, but also for you, Louisa. It is my usual way that after I, God, have worked, I, God, want to rest in the midst of my very works. They are my softest bed in my rest. And since you have listened, you, Louisa, have listened to my word and have together and worked together with me, you, Louisa, must take your rest. Okay, so Jesus is saying to us, you got to know what's happening. Now, if you read sacred scripture, after the first day, it says the morning of the first day, the evening of the second day. Next day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the third day. See, the day starts in evening, okay? The evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. So What's happening is there's no seventh day in sacred scripture. Why? Because God did not. He has to take his rest in the seventh day. Now, the Holy Father told us, St. John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium. It's the 7,000th year. 4,000 years to Jesus. 2,000 years since Jesus. We've now entered the 7,000th year. Now, what's really spectacular is on the seventh day of the seventh month of the seventh year of the seventh millennium is when Pope Benedict says you can now, anybody can say now the Latin Mass. You don't need permission from your bishop. So on the seventh day of the seventh month of the seventh year of the seventh millennium, time changed. And what is so spectacular is if you really read during the Mass, you know, the silent Mass, the prayers that are there are more efficacious. Now, the Novus Ordo is valid. You know, the Tridentine Mass is valid. But what you're going to see is as you enter into this life of God. See, Padre Pio never said a Novus Ordo. St. Annibale de Francia never said a Novus Ordo. And you go, well, why? What's going on? And as you enter into the Tridentine Mass, what you're going to understand is a love of Jesus that has been forgotten, a reverence for Jesus that has been forgotten. And what is happening? Even our new bishop here in the Diocese of Rochester, you know, he says the Tridentine Mass, and he's already set up the Tridentine Mass to be said. I talked to some people a few years ago, very holy people, and they said, you know, what is your secret, Father? And I said, my secret is the Latin Mass. And they went, okay, fine, and they left. If you enter into the Latin Mass, what will happen? It's astonishing. I can't describe it. It's just there's something there that grabs you. The mystical, I think it's the mystical understanding. But anyways, the rest is coming. We're now entering into the seventh millennium, the time of rest with God. And this is what you're going to experience. That's why you don't have to do much. If you're reading, like for example, a friend of mine says to me all the time, if you're doing the greatest thing, you don't need to do the less work. You know, so he gets paid to read the Luisa. I don't know how he does that, but he gets paid to read Luisa Picaretta, you know, and he sits there and he reads Luisa all day. And so our job is to understand that it's not to do something, but to begin to be something, one with God. So what the saints have done, the saints have, you know, built schools, built universities, you know, started foundations, you know, started religious life, religious orders. Jesus says that's not needed. What's needed now, that was needed for the last 2,000 years. But what's needed now is not to just to do the will of God, but now to live in the will of God. And it seems like you're doing nothing, but in reality, you're doing everything. And that's what we want. We want to be so part of God that God is breathing in our breathing, beating in our heart beating, loving in our loving, walking in our walking, gazing in our gazing. That is more important than building a basilica. See, God is going to, you see, we're coming to the end of time. We're going to enter into eternity. So God is asking us, preparing us to really begin to live the life that he wanted for Adam. And it's now coming back. That's why he says, my daughter, look how beautiful all the creation is. It was the word of your Jesus that worked it with one fiat. But do you know what is the enchantment that enraptures me? Your little I love you on each created thing. That's the rounds. As you begin to pray the rounds, your I love you enraptures God. Your I love you on each created thing enraptures God. Why? Because he sees his I love you there. It's not ours. We have no love. Human love is fickle. But it's divine love that God is asking us to begin to live. This is why I love you of yours in the divine will, impressed on each one of the leaves on a tree, blades of grass, grains of sand. They all speak to me of your love, and they speak to me of my newborn, Louisa, of my divine will. I hear the harmonious echo of the whole of creation that speaks to me about you, Louisa. See, because it's her voice in the name of everything. And see, God is asking us now to participate in this. Because of what Louisa did, we now can do. Maybe we're even getting music from heaven. Hit that mute button. Okay, how it enraptures me. How I am. See, he uses his name all the time. How I am. To see that my fiat in creation and the one taught to you to hold hands intertwined together and fulfilling my divine will, how these things give me rest. So again, God is enraptured. God is happy. God has taught this fiat to Louisa and intertwined, one with God, fused with God. The divine will is there and it gives God rest. But I am not content with resting alone. I want Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. That's us. The one who gives me the rest together with me. And since Louisa may take rest and we may enjoy together the fruits of our work, look, do all of creation, all the works of my redemption seem not to you more beautiful with your I love you, with your adoration, with your human will transfused in mine, carrying out its life in the midst of the celestial fears. There is no more solitude, nor that sepulcher of silence that was there before the celestial fears and in all my works. But there is Louisa, my little daughter, and my divine will, keeping them company, making her voice heard, loving, adoring, and praising. So again, what God is going to show you as you begin to learn how to pray the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed, your prayer life is going to be powerful. It's going to speak for all of creation. Okay? Jesus is very serious about this. Holding on to her rights, okay, as little daughter, given to her by my divine will, she possesses everything. And when there is something, someone who possesses, there is no more solitude, there's no silence of a grave. This is why, after having spoken to you, Louisa, at length, I keep silent. That's the same thing for us. As we read at length, Jesus will remain silent. He wants to see what we're going to do. So it's very important. You are going to be closer to God, but in a way that will astonish you. It is the rest that necessary for me and for you. It is the rest that is necessary for me and for you, so that I may be able to resume my word again. See, what he does is, he said to Louisa, if you don't memorize this, if you don't know this, I will not speak to you again. So she had to read this. She had to study this. That's why I said, what do you know in volume 19 that you love of what Jesus told Louisa? What can you say right now in volume 23 that it's so amazing that you can repeat it right now? So you have to know this. This has to become your life. See, these truths are very, very important. That's why he said up at the beginning, you must know this. He says, I may be able to resume my word again and therefore continue my work and yours. But while I rest, I contemplate all my works. My love rises within me, and as it is reflected in me, I delight, I conceive within myself more images similar to me. My divine will places them outside of me as triumph of my love and as the beloved generation of my supreme fiat. See, we're to give life to this divine will. See, we are conceived in Jesus. When Mary conceived Jesus, we were also conceived in Jesus, in Mary. And when we go to Holy Communion, we receive Jesus and Mary. See, it's flesh of her flesh, blood of her blood. You know, my spiritual director asked me once, he says, what relic do we have of Our Lady? And I went, I don't know. He says, it's the Holy Eucharist. When you receive Holy Eucharist, you receive Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is where this life comes from. It's to begin again to live this abundant life. He says very clearly, so in my rest, I generate children for my divine will, all similar to me. And in my word, I deliver them and give them development, beauty, height. And my word keeps forming them as worthy children of the supreme fiat. Therefore, my daughter, each word of mine, the word of God, each word of mine that he has given to us in these writings is a gift that I give to you. And if I call you to rest, it is so that you may contemplate my gift, delight in my gift, love my gift, so that I may let more gifts arise within you, similar to those that I have given to you. And as you release them, okay, as they're born in us, they may form together the new generation of the children of the supreme fiat. Oh, how happy we will both be. You see what God's doing? It's a new beginning for mankind. When God said, be fruitful and multiply to Adam and Eve, it wasn't just about children. It was about every thought, every word, every deed is supposed to give abundant life. See, this is why what God is going to teach us is what the saints only had a glimpse of. So that's why, like I said before, the saints wanted to live in these end times, because they knew God was going to be more generous. And that's what he's doing. As you read this, everything changes. I mean, nothing can remain the same. Listen to what he's saying. The reason everything is capitalized is this is not human. Let's read that top line. It says very, very carefully, my gift, it's a divine gift. You can put divine in front. I divinely delight in it. I divinely love in it. And let more divine gifts arise. See, this is not human. Divinely similar to those I, God, have divinely given you. And as you divinely release them, they may divinely form together the new generation, the divine generation of the children of the supreme fiat. Oh, how divinely happy we will be. See, this isn't human. And that's why when people read this, they say, the church has already said this. Or some people said, I just don't need this. I like, you know, the lives of the saints. I mean, I've had people leave my prayer group because, you know, they said, what would we do without you, Father? I said, you would become a great saint without me. But you won't live in the divine will. See, again, it's not about being a saint. It's not being about being good or being holy. It's to enter into the divine. That's what the divine will is. And again, a lot of people are comfortable with the human, comfortable with the saintly, comfortably with the good. You know, how many people followed Father Carapi? A nice man. But where did all that time go? People could have been focused on the divine will. I mean, there's wonderful people out there, great people. There's apparitions, visions, locutions all over the world. But it's not divine will. Divine will is something completely different. It's to live the life of God while on earth, not after you die, but to live it now by linking ourselves to Louisa. Volume 19, 7:29-26. In fact, as I departed from earth, the one who, in the light of my divine will, emitted the voice which, forming the echo, rendered the creation speaking. This is great. Echoing, operating, was no longer there. So, as Jesus and Mary left earth, the voice of God, which echoed all of creation, speaking, operating, was no longer there. See, Jesus says this, that when Adam lived on earth, everything was in harmony. Everything was singing to God, praising God, loving God, glorifying God. When Adam sinned, it went silent. when Jesus and Mary came to earth, it started singing again. The creation was in jubilation. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, everything got black. Earthquakes. Everything, the tombs broke open. Everything was in turmoil when Jesus died. And it was silent again. Until Luisa. And then when Luisa, when Father Inibele put his Nihili Obstat and Archbishop May put his imprimatur on these writings, then from 1 to 19, the world started singing again. And really, since then, it hasn't stopped. But since the writings came out of the Vatican in 1996, the world is singing even greater now as people get into these writings. And this is why the devil's furious, because it's singing his demise. The kingdom is coming. His kingdom is coming to an end. So he's going to try to kill as many people as possible. And that's what's going on right now. Our job is to sing, to glorify God, to praise God, to love God, to worship God, so that we call the kingdom on earth, we call the fire of God's love upon earth to push the devil out. See, our job is the greatest job of any saint. The saints, you know, they went through a lot of torture. As you know, you look at the North American martyrs around here. They were tortured to death. And yet, where is the faith? Where's the faith? You know, it's so Jesus says, okay, I've got something better planned. I'm going to get Luisa coming. And everyone, there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. With this great gift of the divine will, the Muslims are going to say, Muhammad who? The Jews are going to say, I want to be a Catholic. The Protestants are going to say, let me receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. The Hindus, the Buddhists, everyone will become Catholic because this is the universal life that God breathed into Adam. We're going to see it. You think these miracles that are coming are going to be little miracles? They're going to be great miracles. Do you think the healings are going to be little? They're going to be magnificent. So that's why this talk, these talks are very, very important. We're going to learn how to pray the way Jesus prayed. So when he said to the apostles, you say to that mountain, move, it has to move. He's not playing games with you. When you say to that sycamore, be uprooted, cast to the sea, it must obey you. Okay, so what God is going to do is he's being very serious. I've got great plans, but I need you, us, to be with Luisa so I can accomplish what I've planned. It's going to be magnificent. He saved the best for last. Okay, so Jesus says, okay, forming the echo, the rending of the creation, speaking and operating was no longer there. It happened as to those metal instruments which, with artfulness, enclose the voice of the one who speaks or sings. The instrument speaks and sings, cries and laughs. But this happens by virtue of the echo of the voice that has been spoken. However, if the intelligence that produces that singing is taken away, the instrument remains mute. More so, since I did not come upon earth for the creation, but I came for man, and therefore everything I did, pains, prayers, moans, sighs, I left for the good of souls as more than a creation. It's redemption. See, there's. Look at every leaf on a tree is an I love you. Every blade of grass is an I love you from God. Every grain of sand is an I love you. Yet Jesus says in redemption there are more I love yous than in creation, than all of creation. Because of the tears, the sighs, the moans, the sweat of Jesus and Mary. There's more I love yous than all of creation. And now he says, sanctification, which is coming, is greater than creation and redemption combined. Why? Because we are participating in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Like I said, it's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God, calling down fire from heaven. It's going to be ecstasy for those that love Jesus and Mary. Jesus says, I left for the good of souls more than a new creation. In fact, since everything I did was done by virtue of my creative power, everything is in the act of saving man. In addition to this, creation was made for man, and it was he who was to be king of all created things. Adam was lord of this earth. He was king of this earth. If he said to a mountain, move, it had to move. That's what Jesus wants to give back to us. That's why Jesus came as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He now is the new Adam. And he is going to give this kingdom. He's going to clothe us in divinity again. We're going to be robed in glory. This is what he's asking. See, every time that happens, you get music. But by withdrawing from my holy divine will, Adam lost the regime. Adam lost the dominion. Nor could Adam form laws in the kingdom of creation as is usual with a king when he possesses a kingdom. In fact, having lost the unity of the light of my divine will, Adam was no longer able to rule. Adam had no more strength of dominion. Adam's laws had no value. Creation was for him like a people that rebels against the king, making of him a laughingstock. And this is why my holy humanity was immediately recognized by the whole of creation as its king, because it felt in me, Jesus, the strength of the union of the one single will. But as I, God, departed from earth, it remained without a king again, enclosed in its silence, waiting again for someone who will, in the kingdom of my divine will, would admit his voice, Jesus' voice, to let it resound in it again. But do you know who she is, who will put all of creation in feast once again? The one who will form its echo and will render it speaking again? It is you, my daughter Louisa. You, Louisa, will take back the dominion, the regime, and the kingdom of my divine will. Therefore, be attentive. And he says that to us. Why are you doing what you're doing? Be attentive and let your flight in my holy divine will be continuous. Do not stop, you know, entering into this gift. See, God, and this is why our Lord is depending on us to be linked to Louisa so that the kingdom can be established. We love Jesus. We love Mary. And so we were created at this time. We were born at this time to accomplish everything that God wanted Adam to do. Now, we are weak, miserable creatures. We go to confession each week. We fall into sin continuously. Yet Jesus is saying, be attentive, and I will take care of everything. See, God's got great plans. Great, great plans. And he needs us just to give our fiat. And then we have to prove to Jesus that we want this. How do you prove it? By reading, by studying, by putting this into practice. That's our job. So you turn off the TV, you turn off the radio, you turn off your internet, and you focus on this gift. Your family doesn't want this. Your neighbors don't want this. Your parishioners don't want this. Nobody wants this. Your coworkers don't want this. Jesus has given it to us. And he says, you must know. Okay, who has to know? We have to. The order and the perfect harmony that reigns in this kingdom of all, that is all of divine fiat, in the depths of your soul, Louisa. So he's writing this qualities, the power, the prodigies, the beauty, the joy, the order, the harmony in her soul, expanding her soul. And as we read it, he does the same thing in us. He expands our soul with divinity. This is God doing it. I'm not doing anything. And my response to God is, let it be done to me as you say. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know why you want to do this, but you want to do it? Fiat, I want it. Let it be done to me as you say. And then you let God have his way with you. Let God do what he wants to do. See, Jesus says, first I make the preparation, then I form in you all the properties of the divine will. Then I, God, speak to you to know. Why? Because we're doing this in the midst of our family, in the midst of our neighbors, in the midst of the parishioners, in the midst of our co-workers. And that's the answer to Jesus' prayer. The divine will reign in the midst of creatures. That's our job. And nobody wants it. Nobody cares about it. Everybody ignores it. Everybody ridicules it. But if you're living this, God is going to use you in a very powerful way. So he says very clearly, this is what he's expecting of us. Volume 19, 8, 4, 26. My daughter, let us put everything aside. Let us speak of the kingdom of the supreme will, which interests me, God, so much. Don't you see how I am always in the act of writing its qualities, of its celestial laws, its power, its divine prodigies, its enchanting beauties, its infinite joy, so that by feeling its properties within yourself, you may be the spokesperson of my divine will, the crier of the divine will, its telegraph, and the little trumpet, which with a shrill sound may call the attention of those passing by to listen to you. The teachings I give you about the kingdom of my divine will shall be like many electrical wires, which are such that when the appropriate communications are established, this is in the church, and the necessary preparations are made, this is in the church, a single wire is enough to give light to the entire cities and provinces. See, as soon as, we are asked by God to live this, so when the church says yes to Louisa, the light turns on. It's on. Kingdom is here. And the miracles that are going to happen are going to astonish you. And God is going to use you in ways that you would never have ever thought about. I mean, you love the saints. But Jesus says all the miracles of all the saints are due to the souls who are now living in the divine will. See, there's no time or space with the divine will. As you live in the divine will and you read a miracle of a saint, that's because of you praying in the divine will, living in the divine will, that saint made, that miracle happened with that saint. So the saints are looking at us saying, get this going, because their heaven is going to be doubled. When the divine will is established, their kingdom is going to be doubled. I mean, God's got great, great plans. And look at Louisa and with us. He wants you to be the spokesperson, the crier, the telegraph, the little trumpet, that shrill sound that will draw the attention of souls so that they will say, fiat. See, when everything starts hitting the fan, and it's going to hit the fan, we just saw a little of it in the beginning of this year. We're going to see more as it continues. When you are peaceful, joyful, and happy, and everybody's pulling their hair out, screaming, and committing suicide. Our Lady said that at Medjugorje, when there was a suicide in the 1980s, and the children asked Our Lady why, and she says, if they don't have me, if they don't have my son, all they have left is suicide. This is what the devil's going to do. Do you think it was by chance that Robin Williams killed himself? No, people are going to follow his act. They don't have Jesus. They don't have Mary. All they have left is suicide. And so our job is to live this life so that they don't have to commit suicide. That they will have Jesus. They will have Mary. This is a glorious thing. The lights are going to go on. The kingdom is going to be established. Jesus said he's going to done. As a matter of fact, in volume 20, he says, The kingdom is going to happen as if by magic. The kingdom, everyone's going to, how did the kingdom get here? And Jesus said, because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. That's our job, to form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. How? By reading, by studying, and by putting it into practice. See, Jesus says, when the chastisement happens, the souls living in the divine will, the chastisements will have little or no effect upon those souls. And then he says, the large majority of humanity will be gone. And then he says, the survivors will be living in the divine will. Now, that doesn't mean to be hanging on a boat, you know, on a raft in the middle of the ocean. Not that kind of a survivor. Noah was a survivor. he did not get wet. What's going to happen to us as we enter the ark of Our Lady, as we consecrate ourselves to Jesus and Mary, nothing's going to happen to us, especially living in the divine will. Nothing can happen to us. It's impossible. See, like I said before, the devil flees from souls living in the divine will. He's terrified of them. Because he knows his kingdom is coming. When he sees the light from a soul living in the divine will, he's terrified to death. He's living dead anyways. And you hear of all these people into zombies. The zombie, you know, they're talking about zombies. First they were talking about dinosaurs, then they were talking about vampires. Now they're talking about zombies. Living dead. See, there's no life with Jesus for them. What they're longing for and wanting to do is living dead. That's the demons. See, our job is to live with life. That's why when you see anything with living dead, you just turn it off. You don't need that nonsense. I want life. I want life abundantly. I want to know Jesus and Mary. I want to be in his kingdom. That's what God is. What do you want? See, Jesus gave hell to the devil because that's what the devil wanted. You want hell? It's yours. What will make you happy? This is what God always says. What will make you happy? What is it going to take to make you happy? And everybody says, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. God says, it's yours. We say to God, I want to live in your divine will. He says, then I will give that to you. I mean, everybody gets what they deserve. Like I said before, if you're living a life of hell, you're going to receive hell. If you're living a life of heaven, you're going to receive hell. That's the justice of God. You will receive heaven. Our Lord wants, he constantly says, I mean, in our spiritual life, people say to me, I don't know what to do. I got this, I got this, I got this, I got that. I don't know what I should choose. God's asking you, what do you want? What do you want? I will give you whatever you want. Well, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about that. Maybe this. I think I'm about that. I might. God says, what do you want? And our job is, I want nothing but you. I want to live in your divine will. God says, good. That's what I want. That's why he says, those who save their soul will lose it. Those that try to save their lives will lose their lives. But those who give up everything for me will receive everything and more. This is what this great gift of the divine will is all about. He says again, the power of the electricity, which rapidity greater than that of the wind, gives light to public and private places. Teachings about my divine will be the wires. See, the teachings of the divine will. These truths are so essential. You know, we have to learn these teachings. Will be the wires, the power of the electricity will be the fiat itself. With enchanting rapidity will form the divine light that will cast away the night of the human will, the darkness of the passions. The passions are going to be gone. So, what do you love on earth? You got to give it up. Now, that doesn't mean your spouse. But the passions, the darkness of the passions. What do you got to give up? So, if you love chocolate, never eat chocolate again. I'm serious. But you can always eat chocolate with Jesus and the divine will. I'm serious. I mean, that's what's, you know, before it's like, oh, I can't eat chocolate anymore. Oh, I love chocolate. Well, now I'm never going to eat chocolate in my human will again. Jesus, do you want to have chocolate? Let's have chocolate. And Jesus will never overstuff himself. See, the happiness, the joy of living with Jesus, he says, great, I want to have some ice cream. I want to have some chocolate. But let's eat it together, and I want you to taste it for me or with me. See, it's, again, the consequences of living in the divine will are peace, joy, and happiness. That's the consequence. And our job is to enter into this. Like Sister Mother Angelica, not Mother, Mother Gabrielli said, the happiest sisters were the sisters who were reading the divine will. They were so happy. and the others weren't happy. You know that, and that's so true. I know when somebody's not reading the divine will. Do you know what they're saying over there? Do you know what they're doing over there? Do you know what they said to me? Yeah, I said, you know, fiat, it doesn't matter. Live in the divine will. Stop your arguing. Stop your complaining. Stop your, you know, live in the divine will. Live a peaceful, joyful, happy life. Let go of the human misery. It says, will form the light which will cast away the night, the misery of the human will, the darkness of the passions. Oh, how beautiful the divine light of my divine will shall be. In seeing it, creatures will dispose the devices in their souls in order to connect to the wires of the divine teachings, so as to enjoy and receive the divine power of the divine light that the divine electricity of my supreme will contains. See, this isn't human. This is not human. This is divine. In seeing it, creatures will dispose themselves. This is just astonishing. Do you want to see what will happen? Look, take one wire of my teachings, link it to your soul, and you will admit your voice within the wire and saying, I love you, I adore you, I bless you. That's the rounds. I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you. That's the rounds. See, and work. As you get the rounds book, I'll tell you honestly, get the children to pray the rounds, and the world is going to change. The devil is going to get very angry because he will now hear what Adam was doing, what Jesus and Mary was doing, what Louisa was doing continuously. The last round book we got was written by Sister Assunta, and she did a great job, but it was from volume 1 through volume 19, and she says at the beginning of the book, this is how we formulated this to pray the rounds. Okay. The rounds are talked about in volume 20 through volume 36 more fully. So as you get this, you're going to have a deeper understanding of what God wants for us. And again, it's morning, mid-morning, noon, mid-afternoon, evening, and night prayer. As you pray the rounds, as you make your rounds in the divine will, you're everything's going to change. A couple of people were reading it, and I said, what do you think? He says, it's just echoing through my head continuously. I said, good. I love you, I adore you, I bless you. Whatever you want to say, and be attentive on looking. Be attentive at why you're doing this. And so she said, I love you, and that I love you changed into characters of light in the electrical power of the supreme volition. It multiplied it. Now, we as Catholics understand this. A priest can have a chalice filled with hosts, and it's not one host of Jesus. It's multiplied. So that, I mean, during communion today, I'm looking at the host and I'm looking at the crowd going, oh my goodness. I said, Lord, let the hosts multiply. And every time I looked up, the people were multiplying. I'm going, Lord, let this host multiply. I kept on going, I couldn't believe it. I mean, every time I looked down, it got longer. I'm going, the aisle. I said, but God worked everything out. But even a particle of host is the body, blood, soul, and the divinity. It's God, totally, completely. So we as Catholics understand this. See, this gift is Catholic. It's the universal life that Adam had, the Catholic life. And that's why never go against the Catholic Church. I mean, you might be upset of a few things, but you have to give your fiat. That docility, that submission, that surrender is what God is looking for. Not my will, but your will be done. And the more that we can give fiat to the church, the happier we're going to be. So she says, the supreme will multiplied in such a way that I love you of the light would go through the whole vault of heaven, fix itself in the sun, in each star penetrated in the heavens, fix itself in each of the saints, the blessed, form the crown of light at the foot of the divine throne, and even to the bosom of the supreme majesty. In some everywhere the divine will was, there it would form its electric light. See, why did Our Lady in Fatima give us the miracle of the sun? Why so many places you see the miracle of the sun? Jesus is getting us ready for his divine light. It's coming. He's given us signs. For example, Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 4, the only sign I will give you, the Pharisee says, give us a sign in the heavens. He says, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. And he turned around and walked away. Matthew 16, verse 4. What happened 2 weeks ago at the Jonah's tomb? It's gone. It's gone. It's obliterated. It does not exist. Okay? Does anybody think, Jesus says, the only sign I'm going to give you, of basically of God's power, is the sign of Jonah. And he's been obliterated. Not only that, but the tomb of Joseph of Egypt was obliterated. Not only that, but the tomb of St. George, the dragon slayer, was obliterated. I mean, you have to understand, something's going on. I mean, and again, Louisa was born on the feast of St. George. April 23rd. God is saying to us, open your eyes and look what's happening. And then he's saying to us, I've got a great plans for you. You can work with me or you don't have to work with me. If you work with me, great things are going to happen. If you don't work with me, then it's going to be tough. Okay, so I think we'll end there. I think we're over time. Okay, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we'll meet in 15 minutes.